Good morning, all. As you know, we're in the book of Daniel. And last month, I ministered, I taught on Daniel chapter 1. And today we're going to teach on Daniel chapter 2. So why don't we all go there? The book of Daniel, amen, chapter 2. Now, chapter 2 has how many verses, Pastor Bernice?
49.
Okay, 49 verses. So we don't have time to go through 49 verses, but I'm going to summarize for you verses 1 through 23, because it's basically just details telling you what's going on, okay? There's nothing that I have to re-explain, amen? So, and this is a story, as you know, the book of Daniel begins with the Babylonian Empire, basically, amen? When the young men were exiled to Babylon. So, between chapters 1 through 23, here's what happened. The king, you guys remember the king, Nebuchadnezzar, had a dream. But he could not remember what he dreamt. He couldn't remember what his dream was. So he commanded the astrologers, the magicians, the wise men, the sorcerers, to tell him what he dreamt. What was his dream? I don't think any of us can tell anybody, ask anyone to tell us what did we dream, amen? But this is what the king was doing. He asked them to tell him what he dreamt. He was really troubled in his spirit. He was troubled because he couldn't remember this dream, and yet he knew it was something powerful. Amen? So he calls them all, and he says, tell me the meaning of the dream. And they said to his astrologer said to him, well, tell us the dream and we'll interpret it for you. We'll tell you what the dream means. And he goes, no, you tell me what I dreamt. And so this is what they said, and I'm quoting this. There is no other who can tell it to the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Right? So they're telling, we can't tell you what you dreamt. He became so furious that he commanded them to be killed. Mm-hmm. That's in essence chapters 1 to 23. That's the story, Liz, my sister Liz. That's the story. 1 to 23, that's what happened. The king has a dream. He doesn't know what he dreamt. He's asking his magicians, his sorcerers, his astrologers to tell him what he dreamt. They can't, and he becomes furious. And he says, you're all going to get killed. Amen? Hallelujah, hallelujah. But he had said to them, he had also said, if anyone can tell me the dream, I will give him rewards, gifts, great honors, and so on and so forth. Okay.
Remember that.
So he was furious. So he gave this decree for them to be killed. So when Daniel, now we all know about Daniel, right? Because mm-hmm. we read about Daniel in chapter 1. He's one of the young men that was taken captive into this kingdom, mm-hmm. into Babylon. One of the Israelite young men, okay? So when Daniel hears this, now you have to remember that Daniel was considered a wise person by the king, right? So when Daniel hears this, that they're going to be destroyed, he asked the captain who was given the order to destroy all the wise men. He asked him, why is the king doing this? And of course, the captain explained to him, because the king is furious. Why? Because none of the magicians and blah, blah, blah can tell him what he dreamt. So what happens? Daniel goes before the king, and he asks the king, what's going on? And the king said, and he asked the king, give me some time, and I will tell you what you dreamt, and I will give you the interpretation. So he got, look how God is. God is so merciful. The furious king says, okay, I'm going to give you the time. So he gives him the time. So what does Daniel do? He gets before his God. The only true God of the universe. Daniel gets before his God, and he tells the three young men that were with him, remember that four of the young men were serving before the king, mm-hmm. in chapter one, where they wouldn't eat the king's food, mm-hmm. and they looked better than the other men that right. were held captive. Right. So these four right. young men who were companions of Daniel begin to pray and begin to ask for God's mercy. Remember, they were going to be killed. So they asked for the mercy of God to reveal what the dream was.
Amen. Hallelujah.
They didn't want to die. They didn't want to get killed. So then what happens? In verses 20 to 23, God reveals the dream to Daniel. God reveals the dream to Daniel. Amen. You know, we have dreams and we ask people, so what do you think this means? Don't we? We do that, especially we ask people that we know are into the Lord or stuff like that, or people that we know are prophets. We ask them, what does a dream mean? Go to God. God will tell you. God will give you the perfect interpretation. Amen. So he gives it to Daniel. Daniel blesses God in a beautiful prayer. There's a beautiful prayer in this chapter where Daniel and his young men, they praise the Lord for revealing the dream. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So here in chapter 27. That way I'm going to read. You got the background. What's going on? Here's verse 27 after God answers Daniel. Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, the secret which the king has demanded of the wise men, the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers cannot declare to the king. But there is a God in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what will be in the latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these. Okay? Were these. Okay. So what is he telling the king? That God is the revealer of secrets. Mm-hmm. Amen. God is the revealer. Mm-hmm. And God would reveal, was revealing to him what would take place in the latter days. In the latter days. So what does that mean? Amen. And what the meaning was, God was revealing to this king what would take place and what would take place in the future, in the latter days. The latter days, whenever you read in the Bible, the latter days, it means the end of times. Okay? So there's like a two-part to this this dream. What's going to take place successively and then what's going to take place way in the future, the latter days. Amen? Amen? Right.
Got it.
It just amazes me, you know, Again, that God is the revealer of secrets. That God is the one that reveals things. Amen?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's so, what he wants to do. Go to God first.
Amen. Exactly. You know, that's the right point. We need to go to God when we don't understand things. When we go first to God, right?
Amen.
And God can raise up somebody to explain things to you, which is what God did. Amen? God raised up Daniel. In this whole book, Daniel, is very, this is a prophetic book. Anyway.
Please don't mute me. Whoever's muting me, please stop.
What's that?
The host muted me. I keep muting me.
No, we hear you.
You hear me now, because I'll mute myself. Yeah.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So God is the revealer of secrets. Amen. Now here's what the interpret the dream is. Daniel is explaining the dream in verse 29. And it says, as for you, O king, thoughts came to your mind while on your bed about what would come to pass after this. And he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will be. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me because I have more wisdom than anyone else, anyone living. But for our sakes, who make known the interpretation to the king, that you may know the thoughts of your heart. What is he saying? He's saying, this dream God made known to me, to us, for our sakes. See, we're the children of God. Mm-hmm. And we were going to be murdered. We were going to be killed along with everybody else. God didn't want that to happen. Amen? So God has revealed the dream to Daniel. Amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So,
amen.
Look at this. Who had the dream? A pagan king.
Yep.
A pagan king.
Wow.
So don't scorn the unbeliever. Don't scorn the unbeliever. Because God can use an unbeliever to share things and to show things without even without the unbeliever realizing what God is doing. Mm-hmm. Amen. So God reveals secrets to whomever he wishes.
That's right.
Yeah. An unbeliever can come up to you and say this, this, and that, and you sense the Holy Spirit is talking to you through an unbeliever. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
True.
And look at this. Daniel didn't take the credit. You see that? He didn't take the credit. He gave the credit to God. God is the one. God didn't reveal this to me because I'm so wise or wiser than anybody else. How many times do we take the credit for things when it's God? Mm-hmm. The source is God. No matter what you do and for whom you do it.
Amen.
Because God is the one who is your provision. And God is the one who has given you the ability, and God is the one who has put it in your heart. Amen?
Right.
So when you help people, when we help people, when we do a good deed, God gets the glory.
Amen.
And how many times do we feel all puffed up because we did something good? I mean, let's be honest. Let's be honest.
Mm-hmm.
We have to remember to give God the glory, because if you can meet that need or do whatever it is, it's because God gave you provision.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
So we have to give God the glory. Now, here's the dream. Here's the dream, the interpretation, okay? You, O king, in verse 31, were watching and behold a great image. This image, this great image, whose splendor was excellent, stood before you as its form was awesome. Now, I remember previously researching this, because, you know, during the course of Revelation, the teachings of Revelation, I referred a number of times to the book of Daniel, mm-hmm. right? Because those are two prophetic books that go together, amen? And I remember researching that this statue was about 90 feet tall. 90 feet tall. In his dream, this statue, you know, he erects a statue mm-hmm. 90 feet tall. I mean, the dream doesn't tell you the height, but it was awesome, right? It was an awesome, yes. awesome. And it says the splendor was excellent, amen? Oh. Now, it says, this image head was a fine gold. How do you like that? Fine gold. Mm. No cheap stuff. Fine gold. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. Its chest and arms of silver. Its belly and thighs of bronze. Mm-hmm. Its legs of iron. Mm-hmm. Its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. Mm-hmm. You get the picture of the image? Okay. And it's an awesome and it's excellent. You watched while a stone was cut out without hands, which struck the image on its feet of iron and clay and broke them in pieces. Then the iron, clay, and bronze, the silver and bronze and gold, what happened to these? They were crushed together. They were crushed and became like chaff in the wind. You know chaff? You know, mm-hmm. it just yes. Sprinkles and it just dissipates. Mm-hmm. It just goes in the air. Amen? And from summer thrashing floor. So what they're talking about, well, they used to thrash the wheat. And the wheat would, you know, would, they would thrash it. And then it would, you know, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Sprinkle and all that. You guys got it. The wind carried them away so that no trace of them was found. And the stone that struck the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream. Now we will tell the interpretation of it before the king. So he tells the king the exact dream. Mm-hmm. Amen. Now, what is the implication of this? Amen. It gave Daniel credibility, right? It made right. the king believe that Daniel was real, mm-hmm. like we say, for real, right? Mm-hmm. Because giving him his exact dream, amen. Hallelujah. And I'll go into this later, but this dream is a prophetic dream because it has been partially fulfilled in history. In history.
Yeah.
Okay, and we'll get to that. And then, so he begins to give him the interpretation. And he says, okay, maybe somebody can read very quickly 37 through 39 because I'm getting hoarse. 37 to 39. Please read it quickly.
You, O king, are a king of kings, for the God of heaven has given you a kingdom, power, strength, and glory. And wherever the children of men dwell, or the beasts of the field and the birds of the heaven, he has given them into your hand and has made you ruler over them all. You are this head of gold.
Amen.
But after you shall rise,
that's it, Lisa. That's it.
You're welcome.
Okay. Thank you, dear. I'm sorry. I meant to. So, what does he tell him? You are the head of gold. Okay. Mm-hmm. This King Nebuchadnezzar is king of the Babylonian Empire. Okay.
Yes.
This is the first empire, not the first empire on the earth. But this is the first major empire that God is bringing into focus. Amen? And this Babylonian Empire, I want to give you the dates because I'll later refer to them. The Babylonian Empire under King Nebuchadnezzar was from 605 to 539 BC before Christ, right? This is when his kingdom. And so it was likened to gold, his kingdom, symbolizing the wealth, the power, and position as the first and most predominant kingdom in the dream.
Amen.
The first, most predominant, amen, kingdom in the dreams sequences, amen. So the Babylonians, particularly under Nebuchadnezzar, were renowned for what? Prosperity. The use of gold. They were renowned for the use of gold, amen.
Mm-hmm.
Extensive empire building, amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Extensive empire building, I said, and making the gold a representation, a fine one, a fine representation of this kingdom. And, you know, it just amazes me, you know, how God, it shouldn't amaze me, but God is the one who chooses, amen? And God chose to make this kingdom, this empire, great.
Yes, so, the plan.
Amen? Now, what's the most significant part of the body?
Mm-hmm.
The head, right? The head.
Mm-hmm.
So God made the head of gold, representing the Babylonian Empire. Amen? Hallelujah. And reflecting the significance, you know, that it was the first empire, like I said before, it was the first empire that God chose to recognize in the sequence of empires.
Right.
And these were great empires. These were great empires. There hasn't been any other empires as great as these. We have countries, but we didn't have empires where they ruled over a vast area and countries. Mm-hmm. You got that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. He said, but after you shall arise another kingdom inferior to yours. That's verse 39. Amen. So what's the second part of the image? The chest and arms of silver. Okay. The second kingdom. And what kingdom was that? That was the Medo-Persian Empire, which was in existence from 539 to 331 BC. You remember when, what was his name? Belshazzar, the writing on the wall, and they call in Daniel, and by then Daniel is an older guy. They call in Daniel to interpret, and Daniel says, your empire is taken from you. That was the end of the Babylonian Empire. Amen. That's when Cyrus and Darius, these Medo-Persian kings, took over the empire. So this is the second empire, okay? And so it's silver, which is inferior to gold. Man, this empire is not going to be as great as yours, okay? Why silver? Because the Medo-Persian Empire was known for its financial resources. It was known for that, for silver. So this is the second empire, the second part of the image. Remember, he's telling you about this statue, which eventually the king makes a statue. And we'll get to that in another chapter. So he's telling him that's what that means. That's another empire that's going to come after you. And then another, a third kingdom of bronze, which shall rule over all the earth. So bronze is the third metal of that image, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So you know whose empire that was? The Greek Empire. And who was that? And who led this This fight that took over the Medo-Persian Empire? Who's the famous Greek that we all hear about? Alexander the Great.
The Great.
We've all heard of Alexander the Great. That's who the Bible is referring to. He's the one that overcame the Medo-Persian Empire and Greece. And another name for Greece is Macedonia. You hear about the Macedonian Empire? It's the Greek Empire. And Alexander ran through the Middle East and took over. Amen? Now, his kingdom was from 331 to 146 B.C. Remember, we're going down, and then we're going to go in the years. We're going to B.C. before Christ. So the numbers wind down to right before Christ, and when Christ is born, the numbers come up, and they become A.D. after death. Okay? All right. So this is 331 to 146 B.C. He conquered the whole Middle East. Amen? And guess what material was very dominant in the Middle East? It was bronze. Bronze. It just amazes me. I don't know how you guys are not amazed. It amazes me, and it shouldn't, how particular God is. Amen. How particular he is. Amen?
Yes, sir.
This dream, and he uses the metals that represents these kingdoms, amen, that are used in these kingdoms, amen. So it was bronze, and the Hellenistic Empire, a culture, used bronze in weapons, amen, and in sculptures. That was the predominant metal of that time, amen. Why do you think the New Testament, what's the original language of the New Testament?
Greek.
The New Testament was originally written in Greek because that was the language left in all those Middle East areas because of this Alexander who went through and imposed his culture and his ways and his language on these people.
Amen.
Amen. Alexander's empire, the Grecian Empire, was the largest among all those compared in the image. It was the largest empire. I mean, he swept across, amen, the Middle East. Hallelujah. Amen. And there's another story about Jerusalem, but I can't go into that now. How he didn't make war in Jerusalem, but another day. Okay, and the fourth kingdom, now verse 40 reads, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. Somebody read that. Read 40, someone, for me, please.
And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron. Oops. Sorry, Dorcas. And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron break in pieces and subdue it all things, and as iron that break in all these shall it break in pieces and bruise. All right, Dorcas, you can continue.
No, just that. That's fine. It says, and the fourth kingdom shall be as strong as iron. The fourth kingdom, as strong as iron, inasmuch as iron breaks in pieces and shatters everything, and like iron that crushes, the kingdom will break in pieces and crush all others. This is the fourth kingdom. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And what kingdom came after the kingdom of Alexander the Great? The Roman Empire. And the Roman Empire was a mighty and strong kingdom. Amen? You know, the Roman Empire went from 146 B.C. to 476 A.D., 500 years. So what empire was in effect when Jesus walked the land?
The
Roman Empire. Amen? Because that's who crucified the Lord.
Yeah.
The Roman Empire. Amen? And it continues. It continues 41 to 43. And I'll have somebody read that. because I've tried to really summarize this. So 41 to 43. Whereas you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, the kingdom shall be divided. Yet the strength of the iron shall be in it, just as you saw the iron mixed with the ceramic clay. And as the toes of the feet were partly of iron and partly of clay, so the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly fragile. Continue.
43.
As you saw iron mixed with ceramic clay, they will mingle with the seed of men, but they will not adhere to one another, just as iron does not mix with clay.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Isn't that an awesome prophecy?
A lot. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So, like I said, legs of iron and Imperial Rome, the Empire of Rome. Mm-hmm. And this is the interpretation that most scholars agree with. I mean, there are some that don't agree, but the majority of scholars agree that this is the Roman Empire. Mm-hmm. Amen?
Amen.
And the feet mixed with iron and clay, the feet mixed with iron and clay, 10 toes, will represent a future revival of the Roman Empire. That's why in the prophecy, he says, the dream said this, but this it's also for the latter days. Amen? So, and I'll get into that. The feet mixed with clay. Amen? Now, it's about the Roman Empire that was in existence at that time and a future Roman Empire.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get into that. Uh-huh. Okay. Uh-huh. I'll get a little bit further into that. So as you see, did you notice that the metal used in the image decreases in value?
Mm-hmm.
Gold, yeah. Silver, bronze, iron.
Right.
Decreases in value. And so what some theologians believe that it represents the decrease in morality as the kingdoms come into being. Amen. Mm-hmm. And the increase, okay, the decrease, right? As we've seen, as the future goes on and on, morality goes out the door. It decreases, decreases, decreases. And the increase of the strength of the metals. You know that gold is not a strong metal. Do you know that it has to be mixed with another? That's why you don't have, you can't buy 100% gold jewelry because it won't keep, it'll bend at everything. Okay? So gold, as the gold, silver, bronze, iron, the strength decreases. Amen? And it refers to the treatment that these kingdoms would give to his people. The treatment would become harsher and harsher and harsher, mm-hmm, with each successive kingdom.
Kingdom, yeah. Okay?
So that's a little confusing, but if you try to take it separately, it's easier to understand.
Mm-hmm.
And,
I understand.
Mm-hmm. You understand?
Yes, I understand.
Yeah. Each metal of the statue decreases in value but increases in strength. Okay. So like I was saying, these four kingdoms, history attests to these four kingdoms, you know, arising in the order of a given prophecy. If you go into history books, you'll see it was the Babylonian Empire, amen, then the Medo-Persian Empire, then the Grecian Empire, then the Roman Empire. And I gave you the dates, the dates in history, so you know that one empire followed the other. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's read verse 44, okay?
And in the days of these kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. It shall break in pieces and consume all three kingdoms, and it shall never stand forever.
And consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand
and
forever.
It shall stand forever.
It shall stand forever.
Yeah. Okay. So, what was the dream? The dream was of this big statue, right? This big image, and then a rock that hits the bottom. The bottom, you have to notice that. It hits the bottom of the statue, the feet. It's the feet of the statue. And it breaks the statue in pieces. It crushes the statue. So what? Okay, it crushes the statue, and then another kingdom arises. Amen?
And
it says, okay. Let me finish reading. And consume all. Pastor, finish reading that. Read verse 45.
To finish? Okay. In as much as you saw that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it broke in pieces the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God has made known to the king what will come to pass after this. The dream is certain, and its interpretation is sure.
Amen. Amen. So there's the stone cut out of the mountain, right, without hands. So what is this stone? This is God doing this. Mm-hmm. This is God doing this. And it's going to shatter, destroy the statue. What does the statue represent? Earthly kingdoms. So God is going to crush these earthly kingdoms. Amen? He's going to do away with them. Mm-hmm. And he's going to what? Establish the final kingdom. The kingdom of God on earth.
Amen. Yep. Final kingdom. Mm-hmm. What a vision he had, a dream.
Later on, in Daniel, further on in Daniel, this is going to be explained, and it's going to tie in with the book of Revelation. And what this is, in the end times, the 10 toes, and the 10 toes represents the 10 kingdoms that the Antichrist is going to rule over. And that kingdom, the way iron and clay doesn't mix, that kingdom is going to not mix very well, and he's going to destroy, he's going to be a 10 kingdom authority that is going to rule with the Antichrist. But then the Antichrist, and we studied this in Revelation, is going to take over. Mm-hmm. It's not going to mix. It's going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
But then the God of heaven is going to crush that kingdom. Mm-hmm. It's going to get rid of that kingdom. And God is going to bring us into the final kingdom, the kingdom of God. Do you understand that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that's, I didn't want to get into it deeply because later it's going to be further explained later in the book of Daniel. And we did refer to it. And when I taught on the book of Revelation, we mentioned the 10 kingdoms and the rise of the Antichrist and how eventually they're going to rule together. And eventually he's going to get fed up and he's going to rule by himself. Amen? And then God is going to destroy, remember, destroy the Antichrist. He destroys the false prophet. He destroys eventually at the end Satan, at the very end. Okay? So God is going to destroy the earthly kingdoms, and he's going to bring about the heavenly kingdom, or the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God. It doesn't mean that it's in heaven. It's the kingdom of God. Amen? Hallelujah. And we and most theologians recognize there's a gap. Mm-hmm. Because the Roman Empire ended when? 476 A.D.? Right? And we're in 2024, 2025, right? Yeah. So there's a gap.
Yeah.
So it couldn't refer to the old Roman Empire, because God has not done that yet. He didn't get rid of the old Roman Empire and establish his new kingdom. So that wasn't the empire that was the final empire. That's why the majority of theologians believe that it will be a revived Roman Empire.
Mm.
Amen. And I don't want to go into the book of Revelation again, but you know, the revival of this Roman Empire will eventually, like I said, be crushed, and like the word says, be destroyed by God. Amen. So that's why we believe that in a prophetic gap. Okay. I just want to say that. I want to say that all theologians don't agree, but the majority do agree that this is, that we are living in the last days, and the Lord, the Antichrist could rise up any day. Amen. Okay. Now, let's go to verse 46. Ooh. And we're going to end. See, I summarized pretty good. Let's go to verse 46. Anyone?
Anyone?
Then King Nebuchadnezzar, go ahead.
Go ahead, Dorcas.
King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, prostrate before Daniel, and commanded that they should present an offering and incense to him.
To Daniel, right?
Yes.
To Daniel. Okay, but let's see. Then what's 47 say?
The king answered Daniel and said, truly, your God is the God of gods, the Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, since you could reveal this secret.
Amen. So here you have this pagan king, worshiper of many gods, mm-hmm. recognizing God of Daniel, that he is, look what he says, he is the God of gods. And he is. He's God. And he, you know, and that he is the Lord of kings. Yes, he is. King of kings. Amen.
Amen.
And the revealer of secrets. Again.
Ask God.
Go to God. Yeah, ask God. You know, we're all mortals, right? Mm-hmm. There's nobody here can hear from God better than you can hear from God for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. God doesn't have to talk to anyone to tell you. Mm-hmm. God doesn't need an intermediary.
Battery.
Mm-hmm. God can talk to you directly. Amen. And mm-hmm. and here God spoke to this pagan king and showed him the future. Amen. And God revealed the dream. Amen. God revealed the dream. Hallelujah. And then what happened? Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many great gifts. And he made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon, over the empire. He made him ruler. Hallelujah. and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon.
Mm-hmm.
Later we're going to see they get very jealous and try to get Daniel to the lion's den. Daniel petitioned the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the
province.
Amen?
Amen.
God promoted them. God gave them, God put in the heart of this king to make Daniel ruler over his entire kingdom. And then Daniel didn't keep that for himself. He petitioned the king. Amen. And so for his companions. Amen. And he made them over the affairs of the province. Amen. So God is the one who elevates. But we have to have, we should have a pure and a dedicated heart to our God, who is the God of gods, amen, who is the King of Kings, hallelujah. Mm-hmm. And when we have times where we don't understand, we need to go to God. We need to go to God. I don't know about you, but there have been many times when I'm sure you all, we all have. We've had dreams, right? And we can't figure them out. And I don't know about you, but I can sense, and I'm sure you can, when a dream is prophetic, have you ever sensed that? You have a dream, and you know this dream is trying, God is trying to tell me something, but I don't understand what he's trying to tell me.
I just had one.
I don't understand. Go to God. Go to God and ask God to reveal the dream or rise up someone that can help you. Uh-huh. Amen?
Yeah.
That's what God did. Daniel helped the king because Daniel went to God. But make sure that you go to a godly person that is not trying to interpret this dream through, like I said before, through their own life experiences, because that's what we tend to do. We look at what's going on and we say, oh, well, this and this and that. No, you don't want that. We want what God wants, amen? We want to know what God is saying to us, amen? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to end it there. That's the dream. That's chapter 2. I would recommend that you read the whole chapter on your own. Read the whole, I gave you a summary. Read the chapter and allow God to speak to you through this chapter, that you will again see the sovereignty of God, that God can choose whomever he pleases, that God loves the unbeliever. Mm-hmm. Amen? That God loves the world. That we can minister to them so that they can come to the Lord. That we can help them in a quest. That we can go to God before them and say, God, explain to them, interpret, reveal to them what it is you're saying. Help me, Lord, not to say something that doesn't come from you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Anyway, you're all blessed.